Fun man to talk about. This is the fun bro.
He passed math.
Wow, good job.
Welcome, Bard Ballers, to the Bard Ball, an afternoon delight, unlike the song, which is much dirtier than it seems.
Although this play is also much dirtier than it seems.
This play is very much, much more dirtier. My bearded... I'm Daniel J. Rowe. I'm flanked to my left by the bearded wonder of Habs fandom lore and Renaissance literature, co-creator of the Bard Brawl, editor of Zune's journal, Eric Jean.
Hi.
How has been your first venue into editing other people's work?
I love it, actually. I think it's great. I find it super rewarding to dig out the sort of best of a work and sort of, I guess, polish off the rough edges. It's kind of like being a gem cutter, Daniel. Being a gem cutter.
And very, very soon, once Zounds, or Zunes, whichever you prefer, goes
to Zounds or Zunes.
Or Zounds or Zunes goes to print, you will discover the joy of people bitching at you because you touched their glorious, glorious gem that they thought was already perfectly polished.
I'm waiting for it.
We have been taking a break from Barbell Recording while we've been working on Zounds, which should be out in the next week by the time you hear this podcast. I think we might be just about done. It's right at the end. Mm-hmm. It'll be very exciting. Go to barball.com. There'll be information on where to get it, how to get it, when the release party will be, where the release party will be.
What you're expected to wear to the
release party. The girl flanking me to my right has suggested that everybody must wear hats.
Oh,
that's and that girl to the right is a blast from the past. Our lovely, the beautiful Miss Melissa Lena Taylor.
Hello.
Hi, Melissa. Hey. Where have you been all our lives?
All your life? That's a long story.
Yeah, that is a long, long story. Last heard on Bard Brawl podcast, I believe, in Merchant of Venice. A long time ago.
Very long time ago.
But it's back because at the Bard Brawl, we have decided to go where we always love going, into Romeo and Juliet, the play.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So, Juliet, of course, the reason I say that is because Melissa's here, and we need Melissa to be Juliet, because it's made for you.
That's true.
To Melissa's right is our second, we've now spanned three generations. My parents were in one podcast. It's the elder generation. Our generation is all the same. And the offspring of one Benny Ben Headley is sitting right beside Melissa, and her name is Kira. Hi, Kira.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
You are the youngest Bard Brawler to be recorded.
Yay.
It's exciting.
History.
She's our rookie. She's our 19-year-old rookie phenom. Who's 19? How old was Galchenyuk when he showed up?
I think 19.
Yeah.
PK was 19.
Or PK. You're the PK Subban.
Yay.
Of the Bard Brawl. Or the LeBron James, or whoever you decide. And Stephanie E.M. Coleman on the left diagonal corner. Which means nothing.
Kitty corner?
To you listeners. Kitty corner, yeah. Now that you envision the table that we're sitting at, listeners. Eric, why didn't we do Romeo and Juliet first? Why don't we do this play like every other theater company seems to do, and that is every single time they put on a production or a festival?
That's an interesting question.
Because we don't really like it.
That's one answer. That's one answer. But part of the reason that I don't like it is because I feel that it's misunderstood. It's a very oversimplified play. It's often taught in high schools with this notion that it's supposed to be easy to get into because it's about love and teenagers. But I've always thought that it's a play that makes fun of teenagers and love. And so it doesn't really make sense until you get a little older and you start realizing that the decisions that you made when you were 15 were stupid.
The old...
Whoa! When I was 15, I was pretty wise.
Yeah?
Doing really smart things.
Mm.
Something about a trench coat on a motorcycle.
Yes. I, my look I was going for was really smart. Image,
you're not getting a motorcycle.
Yes, I am.
Well, it's also, it would have been, in some ways it would have been easy to start with it, but it's better to come at it now.
Yeah, and I've said, when we look at this play, and when you, listener, listen to this play, you'll see, we'll point out those points, much like other plays where things get misinterpreted, misquoted, or sort of misread overall. I've always thought that, too.
Yeah.
However, this has produced some very good films,
yeah,
which you'll see reviews on in the coming weeks on BarbRell.com. Yeah. Carrie, you're going to do the Romeo and Juliet one.
Okay. I will use my expertise on animated films.
1,200-word epic tome on Romeo and Juliet.
You'll have it by next Wednesday.
Right. Yeah, so we're going pound for pound with Shakespeare, much like Tybalt and Mercutio go pound for pound with each other.
Mm.
Easy. That was an easy one. That was I didn't have easy. To think of something clever.
Those are some of the best
bits,
actually.
It's in the text. It's in the text.
Some of those are best
yeah, one of the things actually that this play, your best characters get sort of pulled out of the play halfway through, which yeah. leads
it's
to
a very it's a very uneven play. There are scenes that are fantastic, there are speeches that are amazing, and then there are things that are totally forgettable about it. It's really, really, I think that's the biggest thing. And movie versions actually normally do very well because they can skip over those or they can gloss over all the bad parts and make everything seem exciting. Anyways, well,
unlike us here at the Barbro, no, we read through everything.
That's right, all of it.
This has a chorus, much like Pericles had a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
That will be,
but not Cower, and not
no. no. This is an early play, though. It's good to remember that this is an Elizabethan earlier play, and it doesn't. I find when you read the later plays that reference this play almost. Like Othello and Much Ado About Nothing, you see how he grows as a playwright. Yeah. So I think it's nice to read this play for that reason and many others.
Yeah.
Well, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Are we ready for Romeo and Juliet? Act 1, the prologue.
Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life.
Oh, that's dark.
Whose misendeavor piteous overthrows doth with their death bury their parents' strife. The fearful passage of their death marked love with the continuance of their parents' rage, which but the children's end not could remove, is now the 2 hours' traffic of our stage. The which, if you with patient ears attend, what here shall miss, our toil shall strive to mend.
The end.
The prologue's weird because it tells you what's going to happen at the end of the play.
Maybe
Doesn't it also
like
tell you it's going to be 2 hours long?
Yeah.
Yes.
In case you have dinner plans.
It's like buying a Blu-ray or DVD and it says, you know, approximate viewing time.
Yeah, 117 minutes. You can have one of those time bars that is going from 2 to 0, like going in reverse. Okay, we're in Verona. Does this one feel like it's in...
I'm Samson.
It feel like it's in...
It feels a little more Italian than the other ones.
Because a lot of them, if they're in Italy, often feel a lot like England. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have Samson and Gregory. Melissa will play Samson. Let's get... Eric, do you want to grab Gregory?
I will be Gregory.
I'll grab Abram. We have Benvolia, who will be Stephanie E.M. Coleman. We have Tybalt, who will be Kira. She's grabbed the first of two desired parts in this play. You'll know if you ever read it who the two are. We have Capulet, Lady Capulet, Montague, Lady Montague. Eric will take on both Capulets, males, and I'll take on both Capulet females. We're gonna try something
voices.
Pretty crazy.
That didn't make sense what you just said.
Yeah,
didn't
Capulet
it? Both male lords.
Yes.
And female ladies. Okay, yes. That's so, what I meant. Yes. Everybody knows, but thank you. maybe we'll get Steph to do the prince speech. That's a good one.
That's a good speech.
He comes in and speaks, and that's fun. And I will play Romeo.
Oh, okay.
I'll take it.
Oh, I think there's going to be a fight here.
I don't want to be Romeo.
He was tiny.
I would have. I'd fight for Mercutio.
Okay, but so I know who's playing the second ideal.
No, she's playing character. Mercutio.
Are you playing Mercutio?
That's what you said.
Thumb war.
Oh yeah, and the
we'll
third
thumb
one.
War for it.
All right, very well.
Okay. Speaking of thumb wars, we're in Verona, a public place. Enter Samson and Gregory with swords and bucklers. Bucklers is a shield of the House of Capulet.
Gregory, on my word, will not carry coals.
No, for then we should be colliers.
I mean, and we be in collar, will draw.
And while you live, draw your neck out for a collar.
I strike quickly, being moved.
But thou art not quickly moved to strike.
A dog of the House of Montague moves me.
To move is to stir, and to be valiant is to stand. Therefore, if thou art moved, thou runnest away.
A dog of that house shall move me to stand. I will take the wall of any man or maid of Montague's.
That shows thee a weak slave, for the weakest goes to the wall.
'Tis true, and therefore women, being the weaker vessels, are even thrust to the wall. Therefore I will push Montague's men from the wall, and thrust his maids to the wall.
The quarrel is between our masters and us their men.
'Tis all one. I will show myself a tyrant. When I have fought with the men, I will be civil with the maids. I will cut off their heads.
The heads of the maids?
Aye, the heads of the maids of their maiden heads. Take it in what sense thou will.
They must take it in sense that feel it.
May they shall feel while I am able to stand, and this known, I am pretty piece of flesh.
'Tis well thou art not fish. If thou hadst, thou hadst been poor John. Draw thy tool. Here come... Is tool penis?
It can be.
Okay. Sorry. Draw thy tool. Here comes two of the House of Montague.
Enter two other serving men, Abram and Balthazar.
Oh, wait a second. I was supposed to be Abram, wasn't I?
I guess I'm Abram now.
Okay, now you're Abram. My bad, sorry.
It's all good.
My naked weapon is out. Quarrel, I will back thee.
Wink. How turn thy back and run?
Fear me not.
No, Mary, I fear thee.
Let us... take the law of our side. Let them begin.
I will frown as I pass by and let them take it as they list.
Nay, as they dare, I will bite my thumb at them, which is disgrace to them as they bear it.
Do you bite your thumb at us, sir?
I do bite my thumb, sir.
Do you bite your thumb at us, sir?
Aside to Gregory.
Is the law of our side if I say I?
No.
No, sir. I do not bite my thumb at you, sir, but I bite my thumb, sir.
Do you quarrel, sir?
Quarrel, sir? No, sir.
But if you do, sir, I am for you. I serve as good a man as you.
No better?
Well, sir.
Enter Benvolio. Say better. Here comes one of my master's kinsmen.
Yes, better, sir.
You lie.
Draw, if you be men. Gregory, remember thy wishing blow.
They draw. They fight. Ching, 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 ching.
Who's Benvolio?
Oh, Steph, wait, sorry. Oh. I was waiting for a stage. Put up your swords. You know not what you do.
Beats down their swords.
Snatch, snatch.
Enter Tybalt.
What? Art thou drawn among these heartless hinds? Turn thee, Benvolio. Look upon thy death.
I do but keep the peace. Put up thy sword, or manage it to part these men with me.
What, John, and talk of peace? I hate the word, as I hate hell, all Montagues, and thee. Have at thee, coward!
They fight. Ching, 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 ching. Enter three or four citizens with clubs or partisans. Citizens.
Clubs, bills, and partisans. Strikes, beat them down.
Down with the Capulets!
I hate those guys.
Down!
I hate them.
They're the worst. Enter old Capulet with his gown and his wife, Lady Capulet.
What noise is this? Give me my longsword, ho!
A crutch? Why call you for a sword?
My sword, I say. Old Montague has come and flourishes his blade in spite of me.
Enter old Montague and his wife, Lady Montague.
Thou villain Capulet! Hold me not, let me go.
Thou shalt not stir one foot to seek a foe.
Enter Prince Escalus with his train. Prince.
Rebellious subjects, enemies to peace, profaners of this neighbor-stained steel, will they not hear? What, ho, you men, you beasts, that quench the fire of your pernicious rage with purple fountains issuing from your veins, on pain of torture from those bloody hands, throw your mistempered weapons to the ground, and hear the sentence of your moved prince. Three civil brawls, bred of an airy word, by thee, old Capulet and Montague, have thrice disturbed the quiet of our streets, and made Verona's ancient citizens cast by their grave beseeming ornaments to wield old partisans in hands as old, cankered with peace to part your cankered hate. If ever you disturb our streets again, your lives shall pay the forfeit of the peace. For this time, all the rest depart away. You, Capulet, shall go along with me, and Montague, come you this afternoon to know our further pleasure in this case, to old Freetown, our common judgment place. Once more, on pain of death, all men depart.
Oh, when cops spoke well. All cops broke up fights like that. Not in this city.
I'm sure the hooligans would listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, eloquent enough.
They would run away whilst they were speaking.
Yeah. Exeunt all but Montague, Lady Montague, and Benvolio.
Who sets this ancient quarrel now abroach? Speak, nephew, were you by when it began?
Here were the servants of your adversary, and yours, close fighting ere I did approach. I drew to part them, and the instant came the fiery Tybalt with his sword prepared, which, as he breathed defiance to my ears, he swung about his head and cut the winds. Who nothing hurt withal hissed him in scorn. While we were interchanging thrusts and blows, came more and more and fought on part and part, till the prince came who parted either part.
Oh, where is Romeo? Saw you him today? Right glad I am he was not at this foray.
Madam, an hour before the worshipped sun peered forth the golden window of the east, a troubled mind drave me to walk abroad, where underneath the grove of sycamore that westward rooteth from the city side, so early walking did I see your son. Towards him I made, but he was ware of me, and stole into the covert of the wood. I, measuring his affections by my own, that most are busied when they're most alone, pursued my humor, not pursuing his, and gladly shunned who gladly fled from me.
Many a morning hath he there been seen, with tears augmenting the fresh morning's dew, adding to clouds more clouds with his deep sight. But all so soon as the all-cheering sun should in the farthest east begin to draw the shady curtains from Aurora's bed, away from light steals home my heavy son, and private in his chamber pens himself, shuts up his windows, locks fair daylight out, and makes himself an artificial night. Black and portentous must this humor prove, unless a good counsel may the cause remove.
My noble uncle, do you know the cause?
I neither know it, nor can learn of him.
Have you importuned him by any means?
Both by myself and many other friends, but he, his own affection's counselor, is to himself, I will not say how true, but to himself so secret and so close, so far from sounding and discovery as is the bud bit with an envious worm, ere he can spread his sweet leaves to the air, or dedicate his beauty to the sun. Could we but learn from whence his sorrow grows, we could as willingly give cure as known.
Enter Romeo.
See where he comes. So please you, step aside. I'll know his grievance, or be much denied.
I would thou wert so happy by thy stay to hear true shrift. Come, madam, let's away.
Exit Montague and Lady.
Good morrow, cousin.
Is the day so young?
But new struck nine.
Ay me, sad hours seem long. Was that my father that went hence so fast?
It was. What sadness lengthens Romeo's hours?
Not having that which having makes them short.
In love?
Out.
Of love?
Out of her favor, where I am in love.
Alas, that love, so gentle in his view, should be so tyrannous and rough in proof.
Alas, that love, whose view is muffled still, should without eyes see pathways to his will. Where shall we dine? O me, what fray was here? Yet tell me not, for I have heard it all. Here's much to do with hate, but much more with love. Why then, O brawling love, O loving hate?
Mm. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, anything of nothing first create. Oh, heavy lightness, serious vanity, misshapen chaos of well-seeming forms. Feather of lead, bright smoke, cold fire, sick health, still waking sleep. That is not what it is. This love feel I, that feel no love is this. Dost thou not laugh?
No, 'cause I rather weep.
Good heart at what?
At thy good heart's oppression.
Why? Such is love's transgression. Griefs of mine own lie heavy in my breast, which thou wilt propagate to have it pressed. With more of thine, this love that thou hast shown doth add more grief to too much of mine own. Love is a smoke made with the fume of sighs, being purged, a fire sparkling in lover's eyes, being vexed to see nourished with loving tears. Was it it else? A madness most discreet, a choking gall and a preserving sweet. Farewell, my cuts.
Soft, I will go along, and if you leave me so, you do me wrong.
Tut! I have lost myself, I am not here, this is not Romeo, he's some other where.
Tell me in sadness, who is it that you love?
What, shall I groan and tell thee?
Groan, why no, but sadly, tell me who.
Bid a sick man in sadness make his will, a word ill urged to one that is so ill. In sadness, cousin, I do love a woman.
I am aimed so near when I supposed you loved.
A right good mark man, and she's fair I love.
A right fair mark, fair cause is soonest hit.
Well, in that hit you miss, shall not be hit. With Cupid's arrow she hath thine's wit, and in strong proof of chastity well armed. With love's weak, childish bow she lives uncharmed. She will not stay the siege of loving terms, nor bide the encounter of assailing eyes, nor ope her lap to sad saint-seducing gold. Oh, she is rich in beauty, only poor that when she dies with beauty dies her store.
Then she hath sworn that she will still live chaste.
She hath, and in that sparing makes... 15-year-old guy loves a girl, she becomes a nun. Ouch.
This is a... I have to check the date, but this is totally the sonnets.
Yeah.
It's like...
Anyways. Around that time.
I don't know. I feel like back then when you didn't like a guy, it'd be like, oh, I'm going to go become a nun. It's sort of like the, oh, I'm a lesbian nowadays.
Yeah. Wait, what?
That's I'm sure the thing. Six girls who told me that were being totally honest. Yeah,
they're probably in healthy, monogamous lesbian relationships now with each other. Three couples. She hath, and that sparing makes huge ways for beauty starved with her severity, cuts beauty off from all posterity. She is too fair, too wise, wisely too fair to merit bliss by making me despair. She hath forsworn to love, and in that vow do I live dead, that live to tell it now.
Be ruled by me, forget to think of her.
Oh, teach me how I should forget to think.
By giving liberty unto thine eyes, examine other beauties.
Tis the way to call hers exquisite, in question more. These happy masks that kiss fair ladies' brows, being black, puts us in mind, they hide the fair. He that is strooken blind cannot forget, and precious treasure of his eyesight lost. Show me a mistress that is passing fair. What doth her beauty serve but as a note, where I may read who passed that passing fair? Farewell, thou canst not teach me to forget.
I'll pay that doctrine, or else die in debt.
Exit! Rhyme. Act 1, Scene 2, we're still in a street, we're still in Verona, and we have Capulet, County Paris, who I will play. Mm-hmm.
We have a servant.
And a serving man and a clown. Is the clown singing?
And Romeo.
Romeo, Benvolio, serving man. Okay, so... For those of you who haven't been with us before, Kira, if you want to be a servant, you get to do funny voices.
Sure.
The funny best part. Voices.
Yeah.
Enter Capulet, County Paris, and second serving man, the clown.
There's no first serving man, just second serving man.
Where's the first? So, is Paris so weird. The serving man?
Yes.
Is it... Weird stage direction.
Weird.
Kira just says a servant.
Yeah, it just a servant.
But Montague is bound, as well as I, in penalty alike, and 'tis not hard, I think, for men so old as we, to keep the peace.
I think you're No, that's your Capulet voice. Sorry, I'm making notes. I'm keeping notes.
It's my Capulet voice.
Yeah, it is your Capulet voice. It's my bad.
Montague! Capulet.
And Paris is the douchey guy, right?
Like, yeah, who plays him in that Claire Danes movie? He totally looks the part of a lame douchebag.
Rupert Everett? Is it?
No, but he looks really lame.
Oh, no, no. It's
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
That's right. Yeah. And he Perfect. Just looks totally lame.
Of honorable reckoning are you both, and pity tis you lived at odds so long. But now, my lord, what say you to my suits?
But saying over what I have said before, my child is yet a stranger in the world. She hath not seen the change of 14 years. Let 2 more summers wither in their prime, ere we may think her ripe to be a bride.
Younger than she are happy mother's maid.
Gross.
And too soon,
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, totally.
I'm changing my voice to that.
All right.
Yeah. And too soon married are those so early made. Earth had swallowed up all my hopes, but she's the hopeful lady of my earth. But woo her, gentle Paris. Get her heart. My will to her consent is but a part. And she agreed within her scope of choice lies my consent and fair recording voice. This night I hold an old accustomed feast, whereto I have invited many a guest, such as I love, and you, amongst the store, once more, most welcome, make my number more. At my poor house, look to behold this night, earth-treading stars that make dark heaven light, such comfort as do lusty young men feel when well-apparelled April on their heels of limping winter treads, even such delight among fresh fennel buds shall you this night inherit at my house. Hear all see, and like her most, whose merit most shall be, which on more view of many, mine being one, may stand in number, though in reckoning none. Come, go with me.
2 seconds serving men.
Go, sirrah. Trudge about through fair Verona. Find those persons out whose names are written there, and to them say my house and welcome on their pleasure stay.
Exit with Paris, yes.
Can it be really funny?
Yeah, as funny as you want.
Find them out whose names are written here. It is written that the shoemaker should meddle with his yard, and the tailor with his last, the fisher with his pencil, and the painter with his nets. But I'm sent to find those persons whose names are writ, and can never find what names the writing person hath here writ. I must to the learned in good time.
Enter Benvolio and Romeo.
Good servant.
Tut, man, one fire burns out, another's burning. One pain is lessened by another's anguish. Turn giddy and be hope by backward turning. One desperate grief cures with another's languish. Take thou some new infection to thy eye, and the rank poison of the old will die.
Your plantain leaf is excellent for that.
For what, I pray thee?
For your broken shin.
Oi, Romeo, art thou mad?
Not mad, but bound more than a madman is, shut up in prison, kept without food, whipped and tormented, and goddamn good and good fellow? What the hell? Goddamn good fellow? What does that mean? Anyway.
It's kind of like goddamn, I guess.
Yeah. But...
okay. Servant! You're up.
Oh. What?
God, then, I pray so. Can you read?
Aye, mine own fortune is my misery.
Perhaps you have learned it without book, but I pray, can you read anything you see?
Aye, if I know the letters in the language.
Ye say honestly, rest you merry.
Shall fellow, I can read.
He reads the letter.
Signor Martino and his wife and daughters, County Anselme and his beauteous sisters, the lady widow of Vitruvio, Signor
Vitruvio?
Sorry?
Vitruvio?
Vitruvio, oh. Signor Placenzio and his lovely nieces Mercutio and his brother Valentine, mine uncle Capulet, his wife and daughters, my fair niece Rosaline and Livia, Signor Valentino and his cousin Tybalt, Lucio and the lively Helena. A fair assembly. Whither should they come?
Up.
Whither? To supper?
To supper. To our house.
Whose house?
My master's.
Indeed, I should have asked thee that before.
Now I'll tell you without asking. My master is the great rich Capulet, and if you be not of the house of Montagues, I pray, come and crush a cup of wine. Rest your merry.
Exit. Second serving man must have really... elbowed first serving man, yeah. The casting call, and all of a sudden disappeared.
Listen, Shakespeare, it just doesn't work with the two serving men.
We can't afford them.
There is no two serving men.
Where is Jerry anyway? He's not here. I should just take all the lines.
Meanwhile, in a closet across the Thames. Anyways.
At the same ancient feast of Capulet sups the fair Rosaline, whom thou so lovest with all the admired beauties of Verona.
Not Juliet?
Oh, not I know.
What?
Rosa. I'm in love with
Rosaline. Oh, okay, sorry.
The play was Romeo
sorry.
And...
Rosaline, the parrot's daughter. Sorry.
Go thither, and with unattainted eye, compare her face with some that I shall show, and I will make thee think thy swan a crow. She's a total 2, and that's a 10.
When thou devout religion of mine eye maintain such falsehood, then turn tears to fires, and these, who often drown, could never die, transparent heretics, be burned for liars. One fairer than my love, the all-seeing sun, never saw her match since first the world begun.
Tut, you saw her fair, none else being by, herself poised with herself in either eye. But in that crystal scales let there be weighed your lady's love against some other maid, that I will show you shining at this feast, and she shall scant show well that now shows best.
Oh, go along, no such sight to be shown, but to rejoice in splendor of mine own.
Exit.
Okay, Verona still, a room in Capulet's house. And here we have the Lady Capulet, the nurse. Who is the nurse again?
Me.
Kira.
Juliet.
Miss Melissa.
And there's a servant.
Then the first serving man.
There he is.
Second. There you go, Eric.
Do you want to do, should I be serving?
Yeah,
you
should.
All right, should I do stage directions as well?
Yes, you should.
Okay. Verona, room in Capulet's house. Enter Capulet's wife and the nurse.
Nurse. Where's my daughter? Call her forth to me.
Now, by my maidenhead, at 12-year-old, I bade her come. What lamb? What lady bird? God forbid, where's this girl? What Juliet?
Enter Juliet.
How now? Who calls?
Your mother.
Madame, I'm here. What is your will?
This is the matter, nurse. Give leave a while. We must talk in secret. Nurse, come back again. I've remembered me. Thou'st hear our counsel. Thou knowest my daughters of... pretty age.
Faith, I can tell her age unto an hour.
She's not 14.
I'll lay 14 of my teeth, and yet, to my teeth be it spoken, I have but 4. She is not 14. How long is it now till Lammastide?
A fortnight and odd days, whatever that means.
Even or odd, of all days in the year, come Lammas Eve, at night shall she be 14. Susan and she, God rest all Christian souls, were of an age... Well, Susan is with God. She was too good for me. But as I said, on Lammas Eve, at night shall she be 14. That shall she marry, I remember it well. 'Tis since the earthquake now 11 years, and she was weaned. I never shall forget it, of all the days of the year upon that day. For I had then laid wormwood to my dug, sitting in the sun under the dove house wall. My lord and you were then at Mantua. Nay, I do bear a brain, but as I said, when it did taste the wormwood on the nipple of my dug, and felt it bitter, pretty fool, to see it touchy and fall out with the dug. Shake, quoth the dove house, 'twas no need, quoth the dove house, 'twas no need, I trow, to bid me trudge, and since that time it is 11 years, for then she could stand alone, nay, by the rood. She could have run and waddled all about, forever, the day before she broke her brow. And then my husband, God be with his soul, was a merry man, took up the child. Ye, quoth he, dost thou fall upon thy face? Thou wilt fall backward when thou hast more wit. Wilt thou not, Jules? And by my holidame, that... pretty wretch left crying and said, aye, to see now how a jest shall come about. I warrant, and I should live 1,000 years, I never should forget it. Wilt thou not, Jewel, quoth he, and, pretty fool, it stinted and said, aye.
Enough of this. I pray thee, hold thy peace.
Yes, madame, yet I cannot choose but laugh, to think it should leave crying and say, aye. And yet, I warrant, it had upon its brow a bump as big as a young cockerel's stone. a perilous knock, and it cried bitterly. "Yea," quoth my husband, "fallest upon thy face. Thou wilt fall backward when thou comest to age."
Ooh.
That's crude.
She's all the sex jokes. Right? Yeah. 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 She's kind of the... Every performance I've ever seen, she just ham.
They're supposed to.
Sex jokes, yeah. Yeah.
"Wilt thou not, Jewel?" It stinted and said, "Aye."
"Instant thou too, I pray thee, nurse, say I."
"Peace I have done. God mark thee to his grace. Thou wast the prettiest babe that ever I nursed. And I might live to see thee married once. I have my wish."
"Marry that, Mary, is the very theme I came to talk of. Tell me, daughter Juliet, how stand your dispositions to be married?"
"It is an honor that I dream not of."
"An honor! Were not I thine only nurse, I would say thou hadst stuck wisdom from thy teat."
Sucked. Or stuck.
They work.
Both gross. Well, "Think of marriage now, younger than you. Here in Verona, ladies of esteem are made already mothers. By my account, it was your mother much upon these years that you are now a maid. Thus, then, in brief, the valiant Paris seeks you for his love."
He's a good guy.
A good one.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. Good guy.
On the cover of all the magazines.
"A man, young lady, such a man, as all the world, why, he's a man of wax."
"Verona summer hath not such a flower."
"Nay, he's a flower, in faith, a very flower."
"What say you? Can you love the gentleman? This night you shall behold him at our feast. Read o'er the volume of young Paris' face, and find delight writ there with beauty's pen. Examine every married lineament, and see how one another leads content, and what obscured in this fair volume lies, find written in the margent of his eyes. This precious book of love, this unbound lover, to beautify him only lacks cover. The fish in the sea, and 'tis much pride, for fair without the fair within to hide. That book in many eyes doth share it the glory, and in gold clasp locks in the golden story. So shall you share all that he doth possess, by having him making yourself no less."
"No less, nay, bigger. Women grow by men."
"Speak briefly. Can you like of Paris' love?"
"I'll look to like, if looking liking move. But no more deep will I endure mine eye than your consent gives strength to make it fly."
Enter first serving man.
"Madam, the guests are come, supper served up and called. My young lady asked for the nurse, called in the pantry and everything in extremity. I must hence to wait. I beseech you, follow straight."
Exit. "We follow thee, Juliet. The county stays."
"Go, girl. Seek happy nights to happy days."
Exeunt.
Oh, lovely love, love.
There's like no way that the illicit love story cannot happen because this is the nurse. She's just like, go get laid. Go get... Go for it.
Nice. Go, you're 14. That's not advice that we condone.
The Bard Brawl does not condone.
Bard Brawl does not condone anything said by the nurse in this play. Verona, Street, Romeo, Mercutio, who is... Oh, Melissa.
Melissa.
That's pretty fun. Benvolio, yeah. Maskers.
I thought we were thumb-warring.
No, you win.
Enter Romeo, Mercutio, Benvolio with five or six other maskers, torch-bearers.
I will be staged around.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all good. I will be from here on.
Okay, take it.
You are now Romeo.
"What? Shall the speech be spoke for our excuse, or shall we on without apology?"
"The date is out of such prolixity. We'll have no Cupid hoodwinked with a scarf, bearing a Tartar's painted bow of lath, scaring the ladies like a crow-keeper, nor no without book prologue, faintly spoke after the prompter for our entrance. But let them measure us by what they will. We'll measure them a measure, and be gone."
"Give me a torch. I am not for this ambling. Being but heavy, I will bear the light."
"Nay, gentle Romeo, we must have you dance."
"Not I. Believe me, you have dancing shoes with nimble soles. I have a soul of lead, so stakes me to the ground, I cannot move."
"You are a lover. Borrow Cupid wings and soar with them above a common bound."
"I am too sore and pierced with his shaft to soar with his light feathers, and so bound I cannot bound a pitch above dull woe. Under love's heavy burden do I sink."
"And to sink in it, should you burden love to greed oppression for a tender thing."
"Is love a tender thing?" It is too rough, too rude, too boisterous, and it pricks like thorn.
If love be rough with you, be rough with love. Prick love for pricking, and you beat love down. Give me a case to put my vestige in.
Puts on a mask.
Dirty.
A visor for a visor. What care I what a curious eye doth quote deformities? Here are the beetle brows shall blush for me.
Come, knock and enter, and no sooner in, but every man betake him to his legs.
A torch for me, let wanton's light of heart tickle the senseless rushes with their heels, for I am proverb with a grandsire phrase. I'll be a candle holder and look on. The game was ne'er so fair, and I am done.
Tut, done's the mouse.
Like the guest.
The constable's own word. If thou art done, we'll draw thee from the mire of save your reverence, love wherein thou sickest upon the ears. Come, we burn daylight ho.
Nay, that's not so.
I mean, sir, in delay, we waste our lights in vain, like lamps by day. Take our good meaning for our judgment sits, five times in their ear, once in our five wits.
And we mean well in going to this mask, but 'tis no wit to go.
Why, may one ask?
I dreamt a dream tonight.
And so did I.
Well, what was yours?
The dreamers often lie.
In bed asleep while they do dream things true.
Oh, then I see Queen Maeve hath been with you. She is the fairy's midwife, and she comes in shape no bigger than an ancient stone on the forefinger of an elderman, drawn with a team of little automies over men's noses as they lie asleep. Her chariot is an empty hazelnut made by the junior squirrel or old groob. Time out of mind, the fairies' coachmakers, her wagon, spokes made of long spinner's legs, the cover of the wings of grasshoppers, her trace of the smallest spider web, her colors of the moonshine's watery beams, her whip of cricket's bone, the lash of film, her wagoner, a small gray-coated gnat, not half so big as a round little worm pricked from the lazy finger of a maid. And in this state she gallops, night by night, through lovers' brains, and then they dream of love! Or curtsy's knees that dream of curtsy's straight, or lawyer's fingers who straight dream of fees, or lady's lips who straight on kisses dream, which oft they angry mab with blisters plagues, because their breath with sweetness tainted are. Sometimes she gallops, or courtier's nose. Sometimes she gallops, or courtier's nose, and then dreams he of smelling out a suit. And sometimes comes she with a tippeth pigtails, tickling a person's nose as lies asleep. Then he dreams of another benefice. Sometimes she driveth, or a soldier's neck, and then dreams he of cutting foreign's throats, of breeches, ambuscadas, Spanish blades, of health's five fathom deep, and then anon drums in his ear, at which he stares and wakes, and being thus frightened, swears a prayer or two, and sleeps again. This is the very Maeve that plates the manes of horses in the night, and bakes the elf locks in foul, sluttish hairs, which once untangled much misfortune bodes. This is the hag, when maids lie on their backs, that presses them and learns them first to bear, making them women of the carriage. This is she.
Peace, peace, Mercutio, peace. Thou talkst of nothing.
True, I talk of dreams, which are the like children that. Of an idle brain, begot of nothing but vain fantasy, which is as thin of substance as the air, and more inconstant than the wind, whose woos even now the frozen bosom of the north, and, being angered, puffs away from thence, turning his side to the dew-dropping south.
This wind you talk of blows us from ourselves. Supper is done, and we shall come too late.
I fear too early, for my mind misgives some consequence, yet hanging in the stars shall bitterly begin his fearful day with this night's revels, and expire the term of a despised life so closed in my breast. by some vile forfeit of untimely death. But he that hath the steerage of my course, direct my sail on, lusty gentlemen!
Strike drum!
They march about the stage and stand to one side.
Act 1, scene 5, Verona, a hall in Capulet's house. We have Anthony, Potpan, Capula, Lady Capulet, Old Capulet, Juliet, Tybalt, nurse, first serving man, second serving man, third serving man, guests, gentlewomen, maskers.
Wow.
Where's Tybalt? The maskers don't sing.
A lot of parts. And Tybalt.
The maskers.
Tybalt comes later. Enter serving man. Come forth with napkins. First serving man and second serving man, which is Eric and Kira. You're first.
Wait. First. That's but true. We have different names for them, so how are we deciding?
What are your names?
Well, I've got third and fourth, and you guys actually have names for third and
fourth.
I don't even have a third
and fourth, I don't think.
Do you have first and second?
Yeah.
Okay, just read second.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Where's Potpan that he helps not to take away? He shifts a trencher. He scrapes a trencher.
When good manners shall lie all in one or two men's hands, and they unwash too, 'tis a foul thing.
Stay with the joint stools. Remove the court cupboard. Look to the plate. Could thou save me a piece of march pain? And thou loves me, let the porters let in Susan Grindstone and Nell.
Exit serving second serving man and
Anthony and Potpan.
Enter Anthony, me, and Potpan, Stephanie. Aye, good boy, ready.
You are looked for and called for, asked for, sought for in the great chamber.
Stephanie. Oh, I have it as second.
Yeah, serving. She has it second.
I have
serving.
It as fourth.
I have it as second.
Okay, go ahead.
You are now Potpan as well.
You're now
okay.
Done.
Second. So it's a different voice, or it's second.
Same.
I don't think it's super important.
We cannot be here and there too. Cheer thee, boys. Be brisk a while, and the longer liver take all.
Excellent. No parts are unimportant.
No. The part is important, Daniel. The fact that their editions have only servant one and two means it's probably not that important to differentiate.
Enter Capulet, Lady Capulet, Old Capulet, Juliet, Tybalt, nurse, serving man, and all the guests and gentlewomen to the maskers.
Welcome, gentlemen. Ladies that have their toes unplagued with corns will walk about with you.
Nice.
That's...
I don't have corns.
Way to open up a party, buddy.
All
right. My mistresses... Which of you all will now deny to dance? She that makes dainty, she'll all swear hath corns. I am come near ye now. Come, gentlemen. Corns. He's a fucking creep. Welcome, gentlemen. I have seen the day that I have worn a visor and could tell a whispering tale in a fair lady's ear, such as was pleased. Tis gone. You are welcome, gentlemen. Come, musicians, play.
Music plays, and they dance.
A hall, give room, and foot is, girls. More light, you knaves, and turn the tables up, and quench the fires, the room has grown too hot. Ah, sirrah, this unlooked-for sport comes well. Nay, sit, good cousin Capulet, for you and I are past our dancing days. How long's now since last yourself and I were in a mask?
My lady, 30 years.
What, man? Tis not so much. Ah, 'tis since the nuptials of Lucentio. Come Pentecost as quickly as it will, some 25 years, and then we met.
Tis more. His son is elder, sir. His son is 30.
Will you tell me that? His son was but a ward 2 years ago.
Romeo, two-thirds serving man. What lady's that which doth enrich the hand of yonder knight?
I know not, sir.
She doth teach the torches to burn bright. It seems she hangs upon the cheek of night as a rich jewel in an Ethiop's ear. That's racist. Beauty too rich for use, for earth too dear. So shows a snowy dove trooping with crows as yonder lady o'er her fellow shows. The measure done, I'll watch her place of stand, and touching hers make blessed my rude hand. Did my heart love till now? Forswear it, sight, for I never saw true beauty till this night.
I'm going to guess past. That's not Rosalind.
Who's Tybalt?
Oh, this, by his voice, should be a Montague.
Tougher.
Yeah.
This, by his voice, there should be a Montague. Fetch me my rapier, boy. What dares the slave? Come hither, covered with an antic face, to fleer and scorn at our solemnity. Now, by the stock in honor of my kin, to strike him dead I hold it not a sin.
Why, how now, kinsman? Wherefore storm you so?
Uncle, this is a Montague, our foe, a villain that is hither come in spite to scorn our solemnity in this night.
Young Romeo, is it?
Tis he, that villain Romeo.
Content thee, gentle coz, let him alone. Abears him like a portly gentleman. And to say truth, Verona brags of him to be a virtuous and well-governed youth. I would not, for the wealth of all this town here in my house, do him disparagement. Therefore be patient. Take no note of him. It is my will, the which, if you respect, show a fair presence and put off these frowns and ill-beseeming semblance for a feast.
It fits, when such a villain is a guest. I'll not endure him.
He shall be endured. What, goodman boy? I say he shall. Go to. I am the master here, or you. Go to. You'll not endure him. God shall mend my soul. You'll make a mutiny amongst my guests. You will set a cock-a-hoop. You'll be the man.
Why, uncle, 'tis a shame.
Go to. Go to. You are a saucy boy. Is it so indeed? This trick may chance to scathe you. I know what. You must contrary me. Marry, 'tis time. Well said, my hearts. You are a prince cock. Go, be quiet, or more light. For shame, I'll make you quiet. What? Cheerly, my hearts.
Patient, perforce, with willful collar. Collar?
Yeah.
Anger.
Okay. With willful collar meeting, makes my flesh tremble in their different greeting. I will withdraw, but this intrusion shall now seeming sweet convert to bitter gall.
Exit Romeo to Juliet. If I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, this gentle sin is this. My lips, two blushing pilgrims, stand ready to smooth that rough touch with a tender kiss.
Good pilgrim, you do wrong your hands too much, which mannerly devotion shows in this. For saints have hands that pilgrims' hands do touch, and palm to palm do holy palmers kiss.
Have not saints lips, and holy palmers too?
I, pilgrim, lips that they must use in prayer.
Oh, then, dear saint, let lips do what hands do. Gross. They pray, grant thou less faith turn to despair.
Saints do not move, thou grants for prayer's sake.
Then move, not while my prayer's effect I take. Thus from my lips thine, by thine my sin is purged.
Kissing her. Whoa, you get one.
Oh, in the part.
Oh. Okay.
Then have my lips the sin that they have took.
A sin from my lips? Oh, trespass, sweetly urge, give me my sin again.
Kissing her again.
You kiss by the book.
Madame, your mother craves a word with you.
What is her mother?
Marry, bachelor. Her mother is the lady of the house, and a good lady, and a wise and virtuous. I nursed her daughter, that you talked withal. I tell you, he that can lay hold of her shall have the chinks.
She? A Capulet? Oh, dear account, my life is my foe's debt.
Away, be gone, the sport is at the best.
Aye, so I fear the more is my unrest.
Nay, gentlemen, prepare not to be gone. We have a trifling foolish banquet towards.
They whisper in his ear.
Is it e'en so? Well, then I thank you all. I thank you, honest gentlemen. Good night. More torches here. Come on, let's go to bed.
To second Capulet.
Ah, sirrah, by my fay, it waxes late. All to my rest.
Exit all but Juliet and nurse.
Come hither, nurse. What is yon gentleman?
The son and heir of old Tiberio.
What's he that now is going out the door?
Marry, that, I think, be young Patricio.
What's he that follows here, that would not dance?
I know not.
Go ask his name. If he be married, my grave is like to be my wedding bed.
His name is Romeo, and a Montague, the only son of your great enemy.
My only love, sprung from my only hate, too early seen and known too late.
Distious birth of love it is to me that I must love a lothed enemy.
What's this? What's this?
A rhyme I learnt even now of one I danced with all.
One calls within, Juliet!
Anon, anon, come, let's away, the strangers are gone.
Exit. Exit. A lot of stuff happens in the first act of this play.
It's actually a very good first act.
You actually notice, if according to the dates that we have on barbrawl.com, go to plays tab, this play comes after Love's Labor Lost, Gentlemen of Verona, but around right before Richard II, Midsummer Night's Dream, King John, your favorite. And in the early plays, like Richard III, Henry VI, Part 1 that we've looked at, Titus Andronicus for sure, Taming of the Shrew, the first act is really dense.
Yeah.
Everything sort of happens, and that's sort of one of the things I find as you get into the later plays, they become more balanced.
Well, yes and no, because a play like King Lear, which is much later, also has a very, very, very dense first act. But the difference is, and Romeo and Juliet actually is good at this, is it's well paced. It doesn't, like Henry VI Part 1 was just heavy. It was just too much. But this actually feels like, okay, we got a story on our hands now. Great. Like, let's, you know, they've met. They're in love. They are from rival families.
There's a fight. There with a dog.
There were awesome insults.
Yeah.
Presumably there's a dog in there somewhere, but he obviously didn't have any lines. And, you know.
Having an actor. Woof!
they tend to not have lines. Although that, not always. Sometimes. They do get lines. Not in Shakespeare. Maybe. Who knows what he desired. Thank you for joining us for the first act of Romeo and Juliet. A happy Chinese New Year.
That's true.
You're the horse.
You're the horse, hey?
Horse year.
My wife is a horse.
All of those who would like to impregnate people this year we'll have horses as children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a snake.
My wife is a horse.
I'm a snake. Little colts.
Got a girl. Those are
12 years different.
There it is. Wow. Join us next time. You go to thebarbrawl.com. Leave us a comment.
24 years difference.
Okay. Now that the Chinese zodiac is is out of the way, please go on by the Bard Brawl. And go buy Zunes, the subpage of thebarbrawl.com, and order a copy when it comes out soon. You can go to iTunes, subscribe to this podcast, and leave us a comment and a rating, a star rating. Leave us 5 stars, that'd be the best. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we shall be back with you all shortly.
See you next time!
Indeed.
See you next time.
Sonnet 66. Tired with all these, for restful death I cry, as to behold desert a beggar born, and needy nothing trimmed in jollity, and purest faith unhappily forsworn, and gilded honor shamefully misplaced, and maiden virtue rudely strumpeted, and right perfection wrongfully disgraced, and strength by limping sway disabled, and art made tongue-tied by authority, and folly doctor-like controlling skill, and simple truth miscalled simplicity, and captive good attending captain ill. Tired with all these, from these would I be gone, save that to die I leave my love alone.